Ann Moore.
Here.
Debbie Berry.
Here.
Bruce Rinker.
Here.
Three members are present, which constitutes a quorum.
Pledge of allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have an approval of the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Bill, the financial report.
Thank you, Dan. Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
These are the results through September 30th of this year. So we are largely through our busy season into the shoulder season. Okay, property taxes have realigned with prior years. We did cross over the $77 million threshold. So you can see here that we are getting a little bit more aligned as we go through the year. Last year was a little bit off. We were a little slower in collections in 2020, and we made that up by the end of November. I'm expecting this will even out by then as well. From a timing perspective, because we ended up last year at about just under $77 million as well. So we're largely collected for 2021, and 2020 will do a little bit of catching up. We're doing well on our collection of restricted monies from the from various grants and donations, as you can see. And from charges for services, we're about $8.2 million ahead of where we were in 2020, but we're really on par with 2019, almost dead even. We got there a little bit differently. We'll talk about that with the zoo and golf's results as opposed to enterprise. But all in all, we're tracking very, very closely to 2019. Total revenue perspective, we're about $20.4 million greater than last year and about $14 million greater than 2019. And again, that's largely attributable to the restricted monies that we have from the grants and gifts. Looking at our total operational expenses, we're about $5 million greater than 2020, about $7 million less than 2019. That's the same as we were last month. Payroll makes up about $5 million of that, and operations makes up about $2 million. The payroll, less expenditures and payroll is a combination of open positions and seasonal. So again, emphasizing the difficulty it is in finding and hiring people this year, the market that we're in. And it shows that we're still not quite at our normal operating levels in terms of overall expenses, even though a lot of our operations have resumed. So from a surplus perspective, this puts us at about $15.4 million greater than 2020, about $21 million better than 2019. And again, this is a combination of $14 million from more restricted revenue and about $7 million less in operational expenditures. So pretty large swings from what we've seen in the last couple of years. Looking at capital expenditures, we're about $972,000 greater than last year at this point, about $8.3 million greater than 2019. Obviously, 2019 had less restricted monies coming in, so we had less capital projects being done as well. There is a correlation there, as most of our restricted monies are related to capital projects. And then our net surplus perspective, about $14.4 million greater than last year, about $12.6 million greater than 2019. Looking at the zoo, we're about $5.5 million over 2020, about $1.6 million over 2019. Our attendance figures have been strong. We're about 500,000 more people, which is about 93% from 2020, about 54,000 more people, or 5% from 2019. We have done really well at Asian Lantern Festival this year. We hit about 185,000 participants or guests that came through, which is fantastic. The one thing that is in this number is we have one more payment to Tianyu, our partners for Asian Lantern, of $240,000 that went out in early October relating to the September revenue. So that would effectively reduce the special event revenue by $240,000 when that clears. On the operating expense side, 862,000 more expenses in 2020 than we had in 2020, 1.7 million less than 2019. Again, similar to overall operations, this is due to payroll and operational expenditures being less. And then from our operating subsidy perspective, we're at about 4.7 million better position than we were in 2020 and about 3.2 million better than 2019. Capital expenditures, we have a little bit less that have come through the numbers at this point this year, about 3 million less than 2020, about 1.4 million less than 2019. So what this does from our net subsidy position is it puts us at about a $2.4 million net subsidy, which is about 7.6 million less than 2020 and about 4.6 less than 2019. Jumping to golf. Again, just tremendous season for golf. Revenue is up about 10%, $728,000 over 2020. We've already exceeded the $8 million mark for revenue for the year. The rounds have leveled off a little bit. We're about 2% over the rounds from where we were last year in terms of number of rounds played. But you can see that all of the other revenue lines are contributing significantly to the overperformance that we have this year versus 2020. Jumping to the operating expenses, we're about $625,000 more than 2020, which supports the higher revenue, and about $192,000 more than 2019. And this shows that we've really resumed a lot of our typical operating costs for the season in terms of the maintenance and care of the golf courses. Our operating surplus as a result is about $102,000 better than 2020 and about $1.4 million better than 2019, driven by the increased revenue. And then after equipment, and don't forget we had our cart purchase that we finalized this year and we deferred in 2020, this leaves us about $163,000 less than we were last year after we did that buyout of the carts, but that's now complete.
What was that? How much was that cost deferred? How much was that?
That was about $242,000, $245,000 roughly this year. Might have been a little bit more. Might have been 250 actually, Commissioner Moore. I can get the exact number on that, but it was right about there.
No need. Okay, thank you.
Looking at the per course operations, we've got 5 courses that are over $1 million in revenue. 2 of those courses are just at or over 1.6 million when you look at Sleepy and Seneca. So again, strong performance on a course by course basis, which we can see here. Enterprise. So this is where we've made up ground with zoo and with golf in terms of comparison to last year. We've lost ground in 2019, I should say. We've lost ground in enterprise in comparison to 2019, which we've talked about in prior meetings. We're about $1.2 million in revenue greater than 2020, but we're about 2.6 behind 2019. When we look at the operating expenses, we're about $785,000 more than 2020. And about $2 million less than 2019. So this helps offset much of that $2.6 million of revenue reduction that we've experienced. So trickling down to our operating surplus perspective, about $414,000 greater than 2020, about $564,000 less than 2019. So all in all, on a net-net basis, in spite of the challenges that we've had, we still are maintaining a net surplus of $64,000 after capital expenditures in the enterprise group. So that's a testament to the challenges they've had and what they've done to maintain at least a small level of profitability during what's arguably one of the most challenging years that we've had. When we look at the per location basis, you can see here there's no substantive changes from the metrics that we reported last month. It is worth noting that East 55th, Edgewater Beach House, and Emerald Necklace Restaurant are all now closed for the season. And we've moved those staff over to Merwin's. And we look at other locations again, very consistent with where we were from a metrics perspective last month, but Wallace Lake, Huntington, Ledge Lake are now closed. And as we probably have seen in the press releases, the chalet is in danger of not being open this year if we can't get some more staff on board there. So we continue to press hard and try and recruit. So we can have that amenity up and running, but that continues to be a challenge for us as well. And that is all we have through September, unless there's any other questions on the financials.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Glenn.
Do we have the we have the, oh good, thanks. Okay.
Morning.
Sorry, sir.
We'll have a little swearing in. What a wonderful group of new officers we have. This is fantastic. I'd like you to repeat after me, please. I, and state your name.
I.
do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States. The Constitution and the laws of the state of Ohio.
The Constitution.
And the rules and regulations of the Cleveland Metro Park.
And the rules.
And that I will discharge the duties to the best of my ability of the office of the patrol officer to which I have been appointed.
All right.
And will faithfully carry out and implement
and
the policies enunciated and the instructions given to me by the instructions given to me. Make this easy.
I'm not sure.
And the instructions. And the instructions given to by the board of the park commissioners and of the Cleveland Metropolitan Park District. That's
yes.
Right. Very good. Yes. And I will promise and I will promise to do this as I shall answer under God.
And I promise.
Thank you very much. Oh, thank you. Did it ring?
No, I just preempted. Sorry.
As they finish signing, I'd like to again congratulate Jessica Fox. She most recently graduated from Cuyahoga Community College, the Police Academy. She was the class lieutenant and scored a perfect score on the range for firearms. She most recently worked for Notre Dame College as a police officer and worked for Cleveland Metro Parks as an auxiliary officer. We also have Richard E. Berta. He graduated from Lorain Community College Police Academy, where he was recognized for academic distinction and received an associate degree in political science from LMC. He also was an auxiliary officer for Cleveland Metro Parks, helping out at Twilight at the Zoo and other events. And then James Van Dry recently graduated from Cuyahoga Community Police Academy, received an associate's degree in criminal justice from Tri-C. He received a top score in physical fitness at the academy, currently coaches football, and had a near perfect score on the OPATA test. So I would like to congratulate them. And on the top of mid portion of page 9, the recommended action is pointing Richard E. Berta, Jessica I. Fox, and Jameson Van Dry as full-time police officers for Cleveland Metro Parks.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The next action items we have are a number of retiring guests with us. This morning we have James C. Castile, an animal keeper who worked for Cleveland Metro Parks for more than 32 years. I think Chris is coming back in. Come on, Jim.
Good morning. So, when animal keepers come here, at the ring at 8 miles, he always coordinator of after work basketball games.
Yeah.
We're going to miss him.
David, if you could come over. Board of Park Commissioners, we want to recognize you for your 32 years of dedicated service to Cornwall Park, and we wish you all.
Thank you.
Jim.
The next retiring guest could not be with us today, but I want to recognize Noreen M. Laser, Fleet Operations Support Specialist. She worked for Cleveland Metro Parks for more than 35 years. She had a wide variety of jobs, including labor, hosteler, handy person, messenger, visitor and marketing services, and most recently finished up in support operations for our fleet management division. And so we very much want to recognize Noreen Laser for her 35 years of service. The next retiring guest we have with us is Scott J. Myers, otherwise known as Scotty. Come on up.
I was getting nervous up here. So I want to make sure this guy justice. I wrote a little bit of stuff down for him.
Okay. So I've worked with Scott during my entire tenure here at the park. First couple years, we worked side by side on the crew together. In the last six, as his manager, side by side still on the job. Of the many co-workers I have here at the park, Scott is the one that I hope they lost his file over at Oprah's because I didn't want him to retire. They found him. Scott's been helping me here at the park since the day I started. With his help and guidance, and his help and guidance only increased as our relationship changed from manager and employee. The two things I'll miss most about Scott is the number one, his ability to bring the crew together. Under his own will, he would always try to help coworkers settle disputes. You know, Scott's a big team player, and he loved the camaraderie of a team, and he always did his best to make sure the team was good. And number two is his ability to bring the job together to start. He always had the vision of who we needed to call, what where the equipment was that we needed, and the layout of the job site up front. And he would always call me after hours if something popped into his head. I always knew his end goal was to have the safest, most productive job site around. You know, thank you, Scott, for always supporting me. And I know you're a huge part of why I've been so successful in my position, and you'll be dearly missed. And congratulations.
Just want to say it's been a great career, great job, great people, and it's a great company to work with. My dad was right. I had the best job of my life. I was too young to know it. And thank God I listened to him because I'm retired at 52 years old.
Wow.
Oh, wow. To my father.
You tell that to my son, please.
Board of Park Commissioners, Anthony Russo, different projects that we worked on. CMEA leadership. Conversation. Scotty is one of those guys that would always tell you what was going on. Very much appreciate him using his voice. The park has always got better because of that. So we would like to outside. The next retiring guest could not be with us this morning, Gary Tata. He served as a surveyor for more than 20 years to Cleveland Metro Parks, surveyor, surveyor coordinator, survey manager. He had extensive knowledge of just about every part of the entire park district, including all of the most recent land acquisitions. We'd like to recognize Gary Tata for his years of service to Cleveland Metro Parks. The next retiring guest could not be with us again. Joyce A. Weber, preservation assistant. She was here for more than 14 years. She devoted her time and abilities to not only fleet operations support, but also as a reservation assistant. She did a number of different jobs, including capital equipment database, track park vehicles. Additionally, she exhibited patience and a positive demeanor. We'd like to recognize her for her more than 14 years of service. The recommended action falls on the bottom portion of page 11, recognizing all of our retiring guests for more than 132 years worth of service to Cleveland Metro Parks.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Next action item is the 2021 budget adjustment number 10.
The 2021 budget adjustment number 10 is for $92,464, $43,354 of which are for the appropriation of existing restricted funds, $49,110 of which are the appropriation of new restricted funds. And the recommended action is that the Board of Park Commissioners approves this budget adjustment number 10, the detail of which can be found on agenda pages 58 to 60.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
The next is the request for the 2022 tax advances.
By statute, the county fiscal officer is required to deliver all taxes collected 90 days after the close of elections, unless the Board of Park Commissioners adopts a resolution requesting tax advances for timely receipt. We've listed the dates of which these receipts would come through in 2022 in the top of the agenda, page 13. So to better meet Cleveland Metro Park 2022 cash requirements, we are requesting that the board adopt this resolution as listed below for the tax advances from Cuyahoga County.
And we do this customarily.
We do.
Yeah.
Correct.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next action item is the request for the approval of the 2022 rates and user fees.
The 2022 user rates and fee schedule in the agenda pages 61 to 78 do reflect a number of various incremental increases for a variety of reasons. We are adjusting for the cost of some increases due to inflation. We have instituted some ranges of pricing for things like special events and experiences, so we can better vary our pricing based on number of attendees and have more flexibility. We've done some market adjustments, and we've also gone to some whole dollar figures, which helps address and improve the guest experience with coin shortages that we've experienced over the last couple of years, making change often difficult. So based on these, there's a lot of detail in the changes on these. We are proposing, after doing market comparability analysis, as well as discussing with our various teams, and we feel are appropriate changes for the 2022 rates and user fees schedule.
Can I ask one question on the outdoor pavilion that we rent? I couldn't find that on the sheet. Was that on there?
It is, and I can point you to what section it's in here.
And for those, Commissioner, we do a market analysis in that comparison to the other park districts
other
near us, and make sure that we're, you know, priced within the ranges of our nearest allied park district.
Well, it's a complete list, and I'm sure it's tedious, but it's extremely important to have it.
There is a section that lumps in park operations, police department, and marinas, and I believe that is where it is. Conference room rentals, parking lot boat launch. I can point out the specific page to you, Commissioner, but we do have listings for the rental.
I was just curious what those fees are.
Yeah, I mean, they're adjusted for different, depending on what type of facility it is. Is it one that has conditioned space, non-conditioned space?
Does it have
amenities that have flush restrooms, non-flush restrooms? So each one of them, depending on the area, has a different. Also, you know, one in particular at Wallace Lake is a tent. So each one of them kind of is adjusted for that throughout the year.
Okay.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
If I could see that later, Bill, that would be great. Thanks.
Thank you.
The next is an increase for rental of the mobile trailer for the police at Timberlane Farm. This is an additional consumption of $18,850 for 2022-2023. We are in the process of looking at how to either retrofit the barn or make accommodations for the staff down at our Timberlane location. But this gives us a little bit of extra time as we're working through that process. The board is asked to approve the increase in the rental for the mobile trailer on the bottom portion of page 14.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is the Bedford Reservation expansion. This is the preservation of green space in Garfield Heights, authorization for a land acquisition, and Clean Ohio Conservation Fund grant application. This is in Garfield Heights again. This is in the Bedford Reservation. This is 44.7 acres. Cleveland Metro Parks has been working for a period of time with the city of Garfield Heights on this particular property acquisition. It carries 4,700 linear feet of headwater stream habitat, class one and class two, and of category two wetland. It also contains remnant open woods, barren habitat. It is an absolutely beautiful piece of property. It helps align with our strategy of acquisition up in this particular area, connecting down through Dunham Park, which we most recently worked with the city of Maple Heights. Also, when you look at Astorhurst, you look at Cuyahoga Valley National Park, this fits very much into our strategy. What's also great about it is the city of Garfield Heights has been a great partner. They applied for $50,000 and been awarded for the community development supplemental grant in helping develop a trail system on the property. And we've also partnered with Cuyahoga County for $90,000 towards the acquisition of the Garfield Heights property. This is a result of the construction at the Hilliard Road Bridge what I'm going to call a right to reverse through for the Land and Water Conservation Fund. So the recommended action falls on the mid portion of page 16 to enter into the agreement with Garfield Heights and apply for the Clean Ohio funds.
I have a question. If we don't receive the Clean Ohio funds, what would we do? Because there's a lot of money leveraged here and a lot of donation already, and it's a good property.
I think the board, we would come back and ask for the ability to purchase it then outright.
Okay. And do we think this is a good application?
We think it's very strong.
Yeah, that's true.
It's great. The partnerships are terrific there.
Interesting. Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
The next action item is the Cleveland Flats Rivergate Park expansion. This is an authorization to submit an application for acquisition in the Flats Industrial Railroad property and assign an interest in excess of 0.08 acres. This is in the lakefront reservation. We look to authorize this particular action as we're moving forward. We can see on the map how strategic the current piece is. The 0.08 is just off of Columbus Road and just east of the railroad tracks. And that is potentially part of a new development strategy. This allows us to buffer and work our way all the way over between French and British streets.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next is the authorization of land acquisition and the North American Wetland Conservation Act small grants application. This is the Julian property. This is an 8.6 acre parcel of land in Millstream Run Reservation. We've been working on this, the east branch of the Rocky River, since 2003 from an acquisition strategy. We continue to apply for various funding sources through the WRRSP program to help preserve the Heron Rookery. This is a property that did become available. We looked at it from the protection standpoint of associated headwaters, floodplains, and forest, and we have agreed in concept with the board action item falling on the mid portion of page 19 to enter into an agreement and apply for the North American Wetlands Conservation Act small grants program.
Interesting. Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is linking Cleveland Metro Parks and Medina County Park District. This is an amended resolution for the Clean Ohio grant. We most recently found out that there were some changes through Medina County Park District of their match dollars. And so we were able to bring this into a little bit different funding mechanism through the NRAC board in the District Council number 9. Funding assistance of $166,250 for the Oldfield property and $1.2 million for the Allardate property. Again, this is a combined application with Medina County Park District working forward towards the acquisition of these two properties. Very, very strategic.
Great.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is the 2021-2022 property and liability insurance coverages. Greg is here to explain a few of the quick nuances of the action item.
Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry, insurance season.
Oh,
I know. I'm the only one, right? I'm weak. Just by way of background, briefly, we have a 3-year program for our property and liability insurance coverages. Last year was an RFP year, and we awarded the bid to Jackson Deacon and Associates in Tokio Marine HCC as the insurer. Their bid came in $100,000 lower than the next bid. We only had 2 bids at that point. So we are very familiar with them, Jackson Deacon and Associates as the broker. We've worked with them for many, many years. In Tokio Marine HCC, we had worked with them previously as well. You will note we're coming to the board today with our renewal. So we're entering the second year of that RFP. You will see we have an increase There's kind of a good news, bad news. The good news is our rates for our insurance coverages only increased about 5.9%, which is very, very good. The insurance rates right now are just astronomical. There are some insurance rates by line of coverage that we're seeing increases of 15, even 25%. So that's 5.9%, and the increase in rates is very good. You'll note, though, overall, we're about at a 14.1% overall increase, which is equating to about $100,000 in additional premium. That increase is primarily due to, once again, we've talked about before, we're adding structures, we're adding buildings, amenities such as Wendy Park Bridge, such as the zoo zip line, the Lindsay Family Play Space up at Edgewater. So we add those to our policies. That increases, obviously, our premiums. On top of that, we're also seeing construction costs increase, right? And so our buildings and other structures are valued at a replacement valuation. So whatever we would need to, if anything would that happen to a building, we would need to make sure that we're in line with what construction costs are going to be at the present time. So you'll see increases there as well. I did want to make a quick note, though. This year, we did something a little bit different. We embarked on a little bit of a special project. So we looked at alternatives to insurance, right? There's municipalities out there that will self-insure. There's some folks that have a higher deductibles. They'll have a $500,000 deductible, for example. So we really analyzed that. So we analyzed the last 16 years of losses and premiums. Our partner, Crane Langner and Associates, helped us with that. They're a great partner, our risk management consultants. They're fantastic. And what we saw was that, you know, it doesn't benefit us to self-insure or change our deductibles because we wouldn't see a significant savings in premium. The bottom line is kind of, for the last 16 years, we would have saved enough money to pay for 1 year of premium, basically. So to take on that risk of the park district and the community, to go ahead and save some money wasn't really worth it for us, we found. And I think that was a good practice to go through, and I think we'll continue that every 3 to 5 years just to do our due diligence. But that was really kind of eye-opening for what we're seeing in premiums, what we're paying, and the benefits that we're receiving.
Interesting.
Yeah. Any questions? Greg and his team have done a fantastic job working through all of this with the new additions and really navigating this with Crane Langer.
Yeah, and that analysis too didn't include what additional staff we might have needed to process the claims if we were self-insured. So while there was a small nominal saving, it wasn't a true cost.
Right.
Right.
Indirect costs were not factored into that at this time, but we can look at that as we want to make a decision to switch at any time. But we'll take a look at those indirect costs.
So it's a good benchmark.
Yes, agree. Excellent.
Can I ask a question regarding benchmarking with other park systems? Mm-hmm. Is there a way to do that? I mean, this is, frankly, this seems like not a very high premium. From an industrial standpoint, it would be a hell of a lot higher, I think.
Correct. Yeah, we can absolutely look at what other park districts are doing. And Crane Langner does, they're our partner with our RFP as well. They help us with that. And they look at the Turnpike as one of their clients. And so they're the most like us, and they're paying quite a bit more in premiums, as I understand it. I don't know how to have the numbers obviously in front of me, but that's a great point, Commissioner Moore. And we're quite diverse though as well as a park district. We're quite different than every other folks. When other brokers are asking about our program, you know, they're very surprised about the revenue streams that we have, the amenities that we have, all the different opportunities for recreation that we have. So, you know, it's hard to do that, but we can do it with some other large entities in the state and even in the nation.
And I guess it comes down to being very careful about safety, and you know, having the paper record for our park system better than someone else's.
Correct. Yeah, this is not claims driven at all. Our claims losses are very, very good, and that's a credit to our folks in the field, our managers, keeping our facilities maintained, safe and secure is really a big deal for us. So you're right on point, Commissioner.
Recommended action falls on the top portion of page 22.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. The next is the report of RFP 6600-B, construction manager at risk for the tropical bear habitat expansion at the Cleveland Metro Park Zoo. We received 6 responses from qualified construction team. They were all evaluated. We interviewed A.M. Higley, Panzica, and Whiting Turner after an extensive scoring and interview process. The staff is recommending the construction manager risk contract be negotiated and awarded to Hanzika, which is based in Mayfield Village. They most recently constructed Roseboro Tiger Passage back in 2016. We have a high comfortability with being able to move forward with them. Recommended action falls on the top portion of page 25.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next is the award of RFP B6592, Construction Manager at Risk for Foster's Run Restoration Project. This is in the North Chagrin Reservation. As we had done with other opportunities for bidding, we interviewed a short list of three companies: Meadville Land Services, Neronian Sons, and Shermer Construction LLC. This is the project through the H2 Ohio. We did work with our friends and folks downstate, and they really wanted to see this project move forward and have a timeline completed in the first part of next year. We did go through a short list of two firms, and we are recommending, the staff recommends the construction manager at risk contract be negotiated and awarded to Shermer Construction. They have done a number of projects most recently with Cleveland Metro Parks along the way. Recommended action falls on the top portion of page 27.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
The next is the authorization to submit a grant application and commit funds. This is the Lakefront Greenway Trail. This is between East 9th and East 55th. This is the United States Economic Development Administration recently released a notice of funding titled Travel, Tourism, and Outdoor Recreation as a part of the American Rescue Plan Act. We are actively working with partners at Destination Cleveland, Cuyahoga County, and hopefully the city of Cleveland to bring forth the opportunity to connect East 9th to East 55th. This is parts of the Lakefront Greenway. This was identified in a TLCI study a number of years ago, back to 2015. We are working on the preferred trail alignment, but this does give us an opportunity to request $1.5 million from the EDA's Travel and Tourism Outdoor Recreation Program. We would commit then $375,000 to move forward with this project.
But Brian, would that be, is that on which side of the freeway?
North side, north marginal.
Okay, so it'll be along the road there.
Correct.
And just.
North of both roads.
Well, north.
North of 90 and north of marginal.
Okay, so it'll actually be able to get it north. So you'll have to move some fences and all of that.
It's utilities that include fire hydrants, electric poles. I'm not as sure about the movement of the fence as that is an FAA regulation. Having said that, we did negotiate out with the various clubs that exist along there to be able to move the fence in accordance with our plan to build the trail.
Good for you. That's terrific. That'll help a lot.
Again, this is an authorization to adopt a resolution to submit a grant. It is a fund that only has so many dollars in them. And again, we're looking to partner. So the recommended action falls the bottom portion of page 28.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
This is also another opportunity through the same granting source. This is again through the Economic Development Administration. This is through and with the Cleveland Zoological Society. We are requesting the same amount of $1.5 million from the EDA's Travel and Tourism. This is to help strengthen our build out and strengthen our position through a tourist destination of more than 1.2 million visitors. This is for the primate forest complex at the Cleveland Metro Park Zoo. The authorization is on the bottom portion of page 29.
These two requests compete with one another?
They all do, actually, and they all do throughout the entire country. And again, there's a finite number of dollars, and as they get awarded, it's just a declining balance. So our goal was to try to get two applications in. Both have very unique partnerships with them, and both affect travel and tourism in a very positive way.
So we'd be equally happy whichever one, if either one.
Absolutely correct.
And it doesn't matter that we're submitting to, it's just competitive across the board by the project type.
Correct.
But there are different categories, right?
No, it's actually just one fund, and it's through the Travel and Tourism. It was actually, the notice of funding came through us, through our partners at Destination Cleveland with the county, and then we kind of looked at the parameters of it and figured out how to potentially fit it into, and it was as a direct result of an opportunity to help fund the travel and tourism, which obviously in 2020 had a huge challenge.
Did we do this directly, or did we use a consultant?
We did it all in-house.
All in-house. I wonder if there's, because the EDA is doing, there's a lot of other stuff going on with them. I mean, it's going to be billions of dollars. And I wonder if it'd be worth just hiring someone to sniff out what other opportunities there might be. These are both great, of course. Like Collinwood School got one.
Oh, yeah, we have teams of people looking at all of the opportunities.
Okay, great.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
This is the Bedford and South Chagrin reservations. This is the authorization of a grant application and submittal of funding match commitment for the Richmond Road All-Purpose Trail Connector. This has been something we've worked on off and on through 2015, 2016. It's come through our various master plans. We're also looking at partnering again with Village of Glen Willow and Oakwood, coordinating the Ohio Rail Development Corporation, Public Utilities Commission of Ohio, Cleveland Commercial Railroad, to improve the railroad crossing. This is a TLCI implementation grant of $350,000. Our local match for the project would be $87,500. You can see the circles on the map of the proposed all-purpose trail and the unique connection points. This is one that is missing. This is one of the unique missing links in our system of a dedicated off-road trail between Bedford and South Chagrin. This would be a huge accomplishment for the Park District to make that a much safer area.
Does this application, as far as scope, also reference the fact that there's potential connectivity with Summit County to the south from Glen Willow?
It didn't necessarily take into account that part.
I know the mayor there has really been working to make that.
Yes.
Twinsburg, I think.
We're actually working down in Sagamore and a number of other areas to help bring Summit into our trail system as well.
But this application wouldn't necessarily.
No.
But this funding builds that entire piece.
Correct.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
The next is the ratification of a collective bargaining agreement with the Fraternal Order of Police Labor Council. This is for the deputy police officers. As the commissioners have seen through the other negotiations through CMEA and the FOP, this is for our deputy police officers. Again, the components of the financial arrangement are 0%, 3.5, 2.5, and 2.5 in 2023. The recommended action falls on the bottom portion of page 31.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
We will move into the award, tabulation of award and bids and single sources. They fall on the top portion of page 32. There is a lot of them. I will not read all of them. They are all part of our process to be able to essentially buy ahead going into next year based on some of the challenges we're seeing through the supply chain, but being able to add linens, various paper products, cleaning supplies, printing, mailing, digital solutions along the way. Recommended action falls in the top portion of 32.
I had one question having to do with the ticketing system. So we don't do that internally. We externally do it. And explain that a little bit for me so I can understand that.
The ticketing systems across, I would say, the Park District, whether we're using Sentiment at the zoo or Golf Now or one of our products at the other locations, it's a way by which we are automating the system to be able to purchase the tickets. And it's an online platform that is a third party essentially to the zoo that provides those services to us. It's not uncommon. Almost every zoo in the country runs some sort of ticketing service.
Okay, I got it. So the other thing, renting pavilions is different.
Different system.
Okay, right. I understand. Thank you.
We'd love them all to talk in one system, but that's has not been possible at this point.
Yeah.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Approval of vouchers and payroll.
Thank you. Vouchers and payroll have been reviewed as to legality of expenditures in conformity with the Ohio Revised Code, totaling $8,944,768.12. Recommended action falls in the bottom of agenda page 50.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And we have a second Arborware related vouchers to be approved as well, located on agenda page 51, totaling $37.
I'll abstain.
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Public comments.
Public comments, yes. Let's see, who would like to start? Yes, go ahead, please.
Good
Can you talk a little louder, please? Oh, yeah, good.
My name's Pat Cahill, and I live in Isaac Drive in Middlebrook Heights. And I'm just asking permission that we continue to cut the grass and water it an area of that the park owns of 35, that are 18 feet by 300 feet. The park has a woods, and then for 23 years, we've been cutting this little piece of grass, and we to keep the bugs and the ticks and the vines and so forth from coming onto association property. So for 23 years, we've been cutting this grass and watering it, and we just would like to continue it. What happened recently is I had emailed the park, and somebody had called the park board that their vines were attacking our trees on the association property. So when the park board came out and cut down the one tree that was facilitating this, they gave us a notice that, you know, we couldn't cut the grass anymore and so forth. And it's such a small area. I wish the board would give us continued permission for, like we did for 23 years, to cut this grass and water it, and that's it. So you have a woods, then you have this grass area, and then you have the grass area for the association, and then the three houses. I mean, it's not a real big area at all. And I guess I'm not a good public speaker, but we just wish you entertain the thought of giving us permission.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Looking for an answer today.
Very well. Thank
appreciate
you.
That.
Yes. Next, please.
Good morning.
Morning.
Noting the enterprise bottom line, all that time and effort to net 64,000 year to date, below even last month's net, in spite of CapEx being down 100,000 from last year. Merwin's Wharf opens for business and is still 180,000 in the hole. These venues are not supporting the park, they are costing the park. Zoo ed revenue is not up that much from a difficult 2020, which likely reflects attendance. Education must be a major focus of the zoo to demonstrate commitment to conservation. Emphasizing the future benefits of nature preschool is great. However, you know numbers, and the preschool reaches so few people compared to the zoo, whose very existence is justified by the Future for Wildlife motto. Handing out $30,000 of Halloween candy rather trivializes the zoo animal experience and detracts from Metro Park's frequent emphasis on health. Additionally, the lawsuit claiming exclusive rights to Asian Lantern Festival presumably sought to recover damages from the Pittsburgh Zoo. Value of ALF is intellectual property seems minimal. Beyond alienating a fellow zoo, so far the lawsuit has apparently rung up $33,000 in legal fees before being dropped. Other less successful undertakings include Go Ape, 40 Theater, Homegrown Hay. Carbon capture, if that is still pursued, requires designated forests that are at risk of being cleared. Except for the $60,000 spent to cut mature trees in Euclid Creek and other clearing in South Chagrin, one trusts that woods within Metro Parks will remain protected. Climate change and invasives are already huge challenges to the local ecosystem. We need to do lookbacks on these projects and examine the actual long-term profit and loss statements. Too often they just quietly disappear. Look at non-monetary costs and benefits. Learning from the past combined with more conservative planning may help avoid future costly mistakes. Thank you.
Question.
Thank you.
Any other public comments? No, I think we're done.
We have one information briefing item, nature-based preschool, helping young minds grow.
Slide. Did it slide again?
Hi, my name is Erica Anton. I am the Cleveland Metro Parks Nature Preschool Program Administrator. And I'm going to talk a little bit today about how we are helping young minds grow. I'm very, very excited about our program. I think what we are accomplishing with the children that we have really speaks to our mission, which is to provide an exceptional child-centered and nature-based preschool environment, which meets the developmental needs of all the children. And that includes their physical needs, their cognitive needs, all while you're using the natural world around them. This is our team. So in addition to me, the program administrator, I have two full-time teachers, and it's Ms. Nitschi at North Chagrin and Ms. Jen at Rocky River. Ms. Jen has actually been with us since the beginning of the program. I have two seasonal teachers, Ms. Carrie and Ms. Monica, who are with us just for the school year, and then they are off for the summers. And together, what we are really trying to do is combine the best practices of early childhood education. So things like looking at the developmental learning standards, looking at developmentally appropriate practices, and taking the really great resources that the Cleveland Metro Parks has, not only the natural resources, but the resources of knowledge, and taking those two and combining them to a very unique and very valuable experience for the children. Just a little quick overview about us. We do have two locations, one at Rocky River and one at North Chagrin Reservation. Our days are 3 hours long. We have a morning session and an afternoon session. The children are here either 2, 3, or 5 days per week, depending on what the parents select. There are very small group sizes, and that is only up to 12 children at a time. At North Chagrin, we have 10 children at Rocky River. That really allows the teachers to focus on the children and really give them the best experience that they possibly can.
Is that one teacher for 12 kids?
It's actually two. Two to 12.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's a very good ratio, especially for preschool. We are fully licensed through the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. So among other things, we're subject to an inspection once a year to make sure that we are in compliance with all the licensing regulations. We have been growing. So our first year was the 2018-19 school year. We only had the Rocky River location for our first 2 years. The addition of the North Chagrin location and the addition of additional sessions at both locations, we have almost tripled the size of our program since we started in 2018. We are serving primarily Caucasian children, with Latino and Latina children being the next. We are pretty evenly balanced between 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds, with a handful of 5-year-olds thrown in, and very close, even balance between male and female children, with male children just a little bit more than the females. Quick run through those milestones. So Rocky River opened in 2018. In 2020 is when the program administrator position was added to support the addition of the new location. We added an additional class session in 2020. In 2021, we were able to do summer camps underneath the preschool license. And for those little brief summer camps, we were able to serve 80 campers at Rocky River. And we added a 5-day option for this 4th school year, to allow those children to have an even longer, even more robust experience. At North Chagrin, we opened in 2019. We started the renovation of what was an existing animal care space. That was actually a room where the food was prepared for the owls in the nature education building. It was completely unrecognizable now as a classroom. In 2020, we finished the renovation of the indoor and outdoor space, The license was approved. It all happened within a couple months. So it was a very bang, bang, bang at the end of 2020. And our first school year began. We also had summer camps in 2021 at North Chagrin. We were able to serve 72 campers in 2021. We finished some garden improvements to really bring the outdoor classroom to look more like an indoor classroom with all the areas that you might see in a normal preschool. We added that 5-day option to North Chagrin as well, and we added an additional afternoon session. But I love talking about preschool. I love showing what my kids are doing because I think it's, the picture can really show what we're doing every day. So this is kind of what a typical day at Nature Preschool might look like. What we love to do is take that learning outside. So things like at a typical preschool, you might see them doing a circle time, a community time where all the kids get together and do a calendar or talk about the weather or read a book. We like to do that outside. So this is our calendar and our weather chart in our outdoor classroom. You can see it was snowing that day. The children in the bottom here are doing a sorting activity. And the table that they're using is actually a tree stump that they're using as a table. And we have our children here using paint, watercolor paint on snow. We do go outside in all kinds of weather. We make sure that the parents have a really good list of outdoor equipment so that the children can participate comfortably. We love these one-piece rain suits. You can see you can jump full on in a puddle and you're still comfortable after that. We love really good snow gear. This is actually a icy puddle. And these two boys played in this icy puddle for probably about 15 minutes, like wrist deep in there. So high quality gloves are really important. Huh. And just making sure that we can go outside in all that weather. Again, using natural materials. So again, the snow painting, we love using natural materials because those days that we are forced to be inside, which luckily isn't too much, but if it's thunderstorming, if they just need a little break from the cold, and we do have to go inside, we like using natural materials because those can be brought inside to keep that continuity between what's going on inside and what's going on outside. So this thing with all the snow and the sticks, or excuse me, this the stones and the sticks is a self-portrait of one of the children. And the oak leaves was an activity that they were doing a sorting activity from smallest to largest. So the kids were doing that sorting activity with those leaves. One of our big goals is to make sure that we are building connections with nature. We want these children to really have a robust love for the natural world, a robust love for the Cleveland Metro Parks. So we really want them to make those connections with the natural world. This monarch butterfly you see here, we actually were able to tag that butterfly, and I am hoping that someone down in Mexico records that tag so that we can actually track exactly how far that particular butterfly went. So that's very cool. In the lower part there, that's a snake that one of the naturalists found. They were able to fish it out of the pond and bring it over to the children. Again, those really good relationships with the naturalists at the nature centers, bringing that depth of knowledge to the children. These two little girls, we were on a hike and they would not keep hiking until we let them give this tree a really big hug. So that's what's going on there. So some of our short-term plans as we're looking into the future, we discovered this summer doing summer camps at North Chagrin that there's not a lot of shade on that outdoor space. So we do want to get some additional shade out there. We have applied for a Whole Kids Foundation B grant. If we are awarded that grant, we are going to be able to build an indoor beehive in the North Chagrin classroom. So there's actually going to be a little beehive in the indoor classroom that the kids can observe. That's really cool. We want to keep doing the outdoor classroom enhancements. Again, our biggest goal is to make our outdoor classroom look kind of like an indoor classroom with a library, a block area, an area they can do art. So all those areas that you might see in a preschool classroom will be outside. So we're going to continue to bring those. We have been working on our custom nature preschool curriculum. What we do is so unique that a packaged curriculum isn't really what we need. What we need is looking at the rhythms of nature, looking what's going on in the Cleveland Metro Parks at any particular time, and being able to pull from our own curriculum. We are looking into some future considerations for expansion. Right now, we have a wait list of about 100 children for the 2021-22 school year. That's between both Rocky River and North Chagrin. I have a list of about 50 families who have already asked me to make sure I tell them when our registration is going to drop for the 2022-23 school year. And I've also had about 5 families reached out to me about the 2023-24 school year already. Those emails are typically, hey, I have a baby, but I really am interested in this program. When can I join? So we clearly have a lot of interest in the program and a lot of people reaching out. Some ideas for expansion, either adding additional capacity at our existing locations or even adding additional locations to further our footprint.
How do you decide on enrollment? Is it first come, first serve, or?
Yes, with first come, first serve, families who are already in the program have priority for the next year.
Okay.
And then everything else opens and it's first come, first serve.
And do kids stay typically 2 years, or does it really just depend since obviously you're so new?
Yeah, because they're 3 to 5, the 5-year-olds move on to kindergarten. I've had families who've been with us since like for 3 years in a row because they had one child and then their younger child came. So typically our students do return. Those who don't, it's usually they're moving or the older kid is going to kindergarten and they want the younger kid close, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I just love to end with this quote. I think this is such the heart of what we do. And that's children don't give enough time in nature. The child in nature is an endangered species. And the health of the children and the health of the earth are inseparable. And I really love that quote because I think that's really what we're trying to do.
Awesome job.
That's amazing.
Can I ask a couple of, questions, please?
She left, Dan.
Too late.
Good strategy.
My question relates to how do you, this is obviously an extremely important thing for young children, and I've seen it firsthand done in several other areas at the museum and one other program. How can you expand it? How could you fund it and how could you staff it?
Yeah, so it really depends on where that expansion happens. What happened at Rocky River is they identified an existing classroom space that was easily converted. What happened at North Chagrin is they were literally taking a space that was more or less a blank slate. That was funded by some donated funds. So it just depends on where that expansion happens, the exact steps that need to be taken to do that. As far as staffing goes, I always look for teachers who have that kind of magical balance of experience in early childhood education. I think that's so important that the teachers be experts in early childhood education, but who also have that experience and that love for nature-based education.
And I would imagine you can find, it's probably easier to find people to teach than it is places to situate. Would that
yes.
be right?
Yeah.
So how could you fund, how could we, this has so much appeal that I would think there'd be some funding opportunities outside of the normal Metro Park funding sources. Have you looked at any of those?
Not at this time, but I think that's definitely something that we can be moving toward in the future.
I think it really boils down to the space. We found with the first one, the requirements are different than what we were used to before because of the licensing that actually goes on.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we were able to recreate or create the space at North Chagrin. It was a blank slate because we were able to get a grant to move the owls outside. So we continue to look at opportunity. This is one of the, I think, best programs that we're doing for the system.
Period.
But it's incremental and it has to be in the right place at the right time to make sure that we can complete the process, because you have to apply for it. It's not just as simple as, oh, I'm going to create a preschool today, there's a process that goes with it.
But basically, we're on it.
Yeah, and Erica's team has done an excellent job. Mary's team has looked at it, and we have looked at other locations. They haven't just quite met the hand and glove yet to make it work for us.
Very
so
good.
Great job.
Yeah,
that's
thank
awesome.
You. Very, very, very good program.
Thank you.
There is no old business. I do have one thing to bestow. Fruit, if you can come forward. We were able to finally get it. We don't know what happened. For the thank you, Rose, for the teamwork. And this is for his advocacy. This is for his long-term advocacy for not only the Park District, but his time in Mayfield Village, being a champion of green space and dedicating and donating his time for the betterment of the environment. So it is my pleasure to give you the Robert M. Arntz Advocate Award on behalf of NRPA. Congratulations.
Yay. That's awakening. All right, Bruce. Very nice.
Bruce,
thank
the,
you.
That's the ultimate woodsy dogsy award.
If you only knew. That is the end of the meeting.
What is that other thing there?
This is the Innovation and Social Equity. This is the award for the Reconnecting Cleveland Pathway. This was, again, given by the NRPA Association. We most recently got it in the mail.
That's fantastic. That's really neat.
We do have an executive session. The next regularly scheduled meeting is November 18th.
Is there a motion to go into executive session for the purposes of discussing the acquisition of real property?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Oh.
Aye.
Dan Moore?
Oh, yeah.
Debbie Berry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bruce Brinker.
Yes.
We'll take a